comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is, of course, talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. We're here because you matter. We're here because you have a right to know. Well, last week was rather a busy and eventful week for me. I think probably most of you know that I was busy shooting a new TV show, and Jerry Wills sat in for me here at the Kevin Smith Show, hosting the show all week long, for which I am immensely grateful. And Jerry will join us in just a moment, this time not as host, but as my guest, well, really sort of as co-host. We're going to do this one together, which we do from time to time, and it's always fun and interesting. Coming up Wednesday night, I've gotten a lot of email from folks wanting to know more about this TV show. And I have not been able to tell you a whole lot about it, okay? Well, Wednesday night, Michael Lamport, who is one of the producers for the TV show, along with Robbie Thomas, who is also in the TV show. Robbie is kind of the lead role in the TV show. And anyway, they will be my guests on Wednesday night. Now, to give you a little bit of a clue, Michael Lamport is, he's one of the two people who own this production company, is Lamport and Shepard. They are the producers of a show I know you've heard of called Psychic Detectives. Well, Psychic Detectives is not exactly what we were up to. But Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas will be with me, and we'll let Michael and Robbie share with you what this show is all about, okay? K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, and the K-Files is comes out on Fridays normally. Now, this last week it didn't come out on Friday because Kevin wasn't even in town on Friday. I was still trying to get home. I have to say the week was absolutely wonderful, except the traveling. And the traveling part was a trip from hell. But I did finally get home. Had to hang out at airports for 2 days. But did finally get home very early on Saturday. If you haven't subscribed to the K-Files, you need to do that. It's absolutely free. There's no reason for you not to subscribe. And you can unsubscribe anytime you desire to do so. So there's no genius in sitting in the dark week after week after week while everyone else around you knows what's going on. If you haven't subscribed, get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click that big link in the middle of the screen that says K-Files. We'll be back with Jerry Wills right after this.
Thank you.
and welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is someone that really is not my guest tonight. You know him. His name is Jerry Wills. The one and only Jerry Wills is with us this evening. And he's not my guest. He's sort of co-hosting this with me this evening. And Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hello, Kevin.
Well, for some reason, Jerry, we've got a tremendous amount of static.
Well,
there we go. Now we can hear you clearly.
All right. That's good.
Okay. Well, and that brings up something. You sat in for me all week and last week and hosted the show, and you did a great job of hosting the show. I've gotten emails from people thanking me for having you host the show, and I understand you had some folks that called in and expressed their appreciation as well.
Yeah, that's right. That is really fun. We had quite a few callers every night. The open lines live turned out to be quite the event. A lot of folks calling in there as well. I had threatened them I'd be telling jokes that aren't funny if they didn't. That might have been part of the reason they called in.
And look, let me back you up on that. Folks, he can tell jokes that are not funny. He really can.
Well, gosh, between you and Kathy, I just can't win.
Jerry, you had the experience of having the reins in your hands there for a whole week, and it's a bit of a beast, the Kevin Smith Show, technologically, is it not?
Yeah, it really is. You know, I was having, the whole week, I was having an issue with some glitch in my computer. It wasn't there before the show started. It only showed up just minutes before I was to go live. So it was just one of those crazy, insane things that you just have to do and make the best of it.
Well, I certainly know how that feels. I have often said on nights like that, it's like flying a 747 without any hydraulics.
Yeah, it was. A lot of looking left to right and trying to tweak buttons and things while you're live on the air. It was a bit disconcerting, but you know, I think it turned out all right. It certainly wasn't absolutely perfect like most of your shows are, but by Friday I got it to where it was running a lot more smoothly.
Well, there's just a whole lot technologically that goes on with this, and you know, I had one person that wrote to me, I don't know, it was a year, 2 years ago, something like that, a listener, and he was telling me that he does a show and he never has this problem, and he just doesn't understand why I keep having those problems. And, of course, the answer to that is he does a show. It's on internet radio only, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's only on internet radio. It's not on internet TV, AM, FM, mobile devices, TiVo, and affiliate stations. It's on one internet radio station, and he does it once a week. Well, you can kind of get things tuned up to the point where you can get that one show in once a week without a lot of problems. But what's going on here is three computers. One is doing radio, one is doing television, one is running our telephone system, and then on top of that you have the telephone system itself, you've got the mixer, you've got the amps and preamps, and all that stuff happening simultaneously, all having to be balanced against three computers. And it's a chore. It really is a chore. There's no doubt about it. But you survived it, and I understand you had some pretty hot shows. Now, I have to be honest with you. Where I was located, I didn't have First of all, cell phones wouldn't work except, you know, you might find a spot if you stand on your left foot and raise your right hand and use your left hand for the cell phone. You might get cell phone service in that one spot. And internet was very, very, very slow. So when I could get it, it was very slow. So it was, I only got one show. I only caught one show. But I have, since I've been back, I've watched the show that you did on Friday night. And you talked in that show about some others that you did. I want us to do the same thing, but I want us to do something else first. And this is really important. I want us to talk about Jeff Harvey for just a moment. Jeff Harvey has been a guest on this show. And most of the audience, the longtime listeners, you've heard Jeff. And you like him. I know that because you call in, you talk to him. And we are going to open the phone lines tonight so you can talk with me and Jerry. I know that's some of you would like to talk with Jerry. Some of you don't want to talk to me, but that's okay. You can talk to Jerry. I'll shut up. And but Jeff Harvey has been on this show several times. You know about Jeff, don't you, Jerry?
Yeah.
Well, Jeff developed an infection in his leg. Now, he is one of the people that Dr. Lear and his team worked on and removed an implant from his leg that was actually broadcasting on deep space frequency. And it's that leg that's involved here. He developed a blister on his foot, which became infected and would not respond to any of the treatments, nothing the doctors did would help. He requested that he's seeing doctors at the Veterans Administration. He requested this oxygen treatment, hydrogen peroxide treatment, which is known to kill gangrene, but they refused the treatment. They would not approve it. So now, today, he had that leg amputated.
Wow.
So it's pretty serious stuff. I sent a notice out to everybody that's subscribed to the K-Files, and I sent a notice out to everyone who is a member. So if you're a member of the Kevin Smith Show, or if you are subscribed to the K-Files, then you got that notice. So I just hope that everyone listening, you know, if you pray for Jeff. If you send healing energies, do that. Whatever it is that you do in situations like this, please direct those good things towards Jeff Harvey. He's very ill. He is in the hospital. And I talked with him yesterday. He was to have the surgery today. I don't know for sure that he did. I assume that he did. But, Jerry, I didn't call him today because I was expecting he would have surgery and then would be in recovery. So I'll call tomorrow. What do you do in situations like that? Do you pray? Do you meditate? Do you send healing energy? What do you do?
Well, I've only run into this twice. There was a fellow that I just met. I mean, I didn't know who he was. We later became friends because of how it turned out. But he was from Las Vegas. He came down with a flesh-eating whatever it is, a bacteria, you know, the stuff you get in the hospital that just they can't kill.
Yeah.
And he came to see me because there was nothing they could do, and it was just going to keep eating him up. They were going to amputate his arm from the elbow down. So he showed up, and I took a look at it, And he says, you have to be really careful. You can't touch this. And, of course, I'm not careful. I didn't really touch it. I touched his arm, but I didn't touch where the wound was. But I got pretty darn close to it. And I just basically focused energy in to kill off the bacteria. It took about 5 days before it healed up and went away. Saw another fellow down in the Amazon that had a bad infection. They thought it was going to go to gangrene. He was in a clinic down there. And I did about the same thing for him. So that's what I do. I just go in and go after the bacteria, kill that off, and once it's killed off, then, you know, the next thing is make sure there's blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually what causes the most pain, because if blood flow has stopped to an area where gangrene is starting, when it starts back up again, all those nerves come back to life and it hurts. And that's a whole different bailiwick to deal with. But that's basically, you know, for the first guy, he didn't have any pain. It just quit itching, it quit burning, and it just healed up. And in about 5 or 6 days, you know, it had formed over where skin was growing and it was coming back to normal again.
So he didn't have to have his arm amputated?
No, he did.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
It was on his right hand, and you know, I remember him well because he wore a gold watch on his right wrist instead of his left wrist. And he was wondering, you know, if he was going to lose that. He didn't like to wear his watch on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Was he left-handed? Was he left-handed?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, a lot of left-handed people do that. They'll wear the watch on the right instead of on the left. I, on the other hand, do not like to wear a watch, period. Now, while I was out doing the filming, I wore a watch. I needed one. But normally, I don't wear a watch. As a matter of fact, I leave it laying on the broadcast desk in front of me. And I don't put it on. I don't wear jewelry. And, you know, that's an old habit. That's an old habit from when I was a cop.
Uh-huh.
Because if you put on a watch, you can bet Friday night or Saturday night it's going to be ripped off. It's going to be torn off of your arm. If you wear rings, and if you do get into an altercation, you can do damage to the person with those rings for which they can sue you. So I don't wear rings. I don't wear watches. I just got out of that habit over all those years of being a cop.
Well, I tend to wear a watch occasionally because I forget what day it is, what time it is. I just get lost in time. I've never really had a very good success story trying to figure out time, except when I was doing your show, and then it was, you know, it was like the only focus I had was from about 3 o'clock on was making sure and testing and retesting everything to make sure it worked.
Yeah. But, well, you know, back on that subject just a moment. Jerry, it's weird. You know, people have heard me say, I think this studio must be demon-possessed. And I say that jokingly because you can test it out, have it working perfectly. Everything's working. And I've actually done this like 5 minutes before the show. Everything's working. We go to showtime. You push a button, and what's supposed to happen doesn't happen. And I've had that. And tomorrow maybe it's working again, you know. And I no explanation. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, that's how it was for me, too. I actually would restart all the computers 30 minutes before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make any difference. They would still goof up. So I gave up on that.
Well, you got through it, and you brought some good shows. And one of those shows, two of those shows, actually, had to do with whether we landed on the moon.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And I heard you talk about it in Friday night's show. I've watched that. And apparently it had an impact on you.
Well, it was material that I really hadn't taken the time to really dig into. Marcus Allen seems to be just an amazingly intelligent and well-spoken fellow. And he presented a case and pointed out details that when these details are pointed out, you have to scratch your head and go, I don't know how in the world it could possibly be that these details are absolute facts, and yet we're supposed to believe that they accomplished this phenomenal mission to the moon, given that these are the facts. One does not equate to the other. And that's what he was bringing to our audience, Kevin. And I just sat there just riveted. I was just blown away.
So which side of the fence do you come down on now? Did we go to the moon or not?
I don't know. You know, I haven't really made up my mind 100%. But given the details that he showed, I probably would lean a little bit more toward there's something not quite right here about all of this. I don't know if we've ever gone to the moon or not. And actually, I was going to give a call to a couple friends of mine that are astronauts or in the aerospace industry. One's an astronaut, and the other one isn't. And I was just going to, you know, have them watch his presentation, listen to what he had to say, and give me the straight story. I put the calls in. I've just not had a chance to talk to them since the show because there was so much else I had to do the past couple of days.
Well, you know, I have said on a number of occasions when I've been asked about that, I think we went, but I don't think we saw it. I think what we saw was pre-recorded. And I don't think we necessarily went in the Apollo spacecraft. Maybe we did, but I don't think necessarily that we did. You brought up a good point, and that is that the true state of technology is way ahead of what we, the unwashed masses, know. So we can think of what's the highest level of technology that we can think of that actually exists. And the real state of technology will be 20 to 50 years ahead of that. And so it's possible that they went, but in better spacecraft than the Apollo. We have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And it is moi. I have returned. Like General MacArthur, I have returned. And with me this evening, not really as my guest, but more as co-host this evening, Jerry Wills, who was your host all last week. Jerry, what I was saying about going to the moon is I think we went, and I think we went to Mars. But you know what? I don't think that the stuff we saw on television was the real deal. And I think there were things on the moon they knew about, and they didn't want us to see what was really there and what was really going on. And it is perhaps true that we went with the Apollo capsules. That's possible, I guess. But, you know, I can't imagine that we would when we would have something way far advanced of that, you know, in the black programs, the military programs. So, but I think we went. And I think we know things. We found things. that have helped us to leap way forward scientifically. And I don't think we really are interested in other people landing on the moon.
I agree with you. I think we have been there. You know, the argument that you make for it is a valid one. The technology that we're experiencing is probably 20 or 30 years behind what's actually available, and I believe that span increases every year. And as a result, while I don't believe the Apollo program was showing us, you know, something valid, I think that, you know, there have been folks who have gone to the moon, and their reasons for going might have had, you know, different underlying characteristics than we would ever know. It wasn't just to go land on the moon. It was actually to go there because they knew something was there.
Well, the primary reason that I think, the reason that I say that I think we went to the moon, there are conversations, there are now transcripts of these conversations between the astronauts and mission control that were not on the open channel. And these conversations have some very interesting, very cryptic statements in them. Like hearing music. The astronauts heard music on the backside of the moon. As they're flying around, they could hear very spacey sounding music. And they talked about it. Now, that didn't go out over the over the live channel, you know, that the news people pick up and rebroadcast. That was on the private channel. And right. But those transcripts now exist, and I think because of those very odd statements, very cryptic statements, it's obviously not something that was scripted for the audience on Earth. I think they were there.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's weird. It'd be nice to know what kind of music it was.
You know, they said it sounded like one of those Chinese flutes.
Oh. Oh, isn't that interesting?
And all concerned could hear it. Everybody in the capsule could hear it.
Are there any recordings of this anywhere?
Well, there probably are. I would think NASA probably has them. But all that has been released through Freedom of Information is redacted transcripts.
I see.
So, speaking of transcripts, you know, Jerry, one of the things that we do from time to time, I take a piece of a show and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I took one from 2010. It's from a year ago. And it has to do, I did a show on UFOs in Southeast Asia. And this little piece of that show, I think it's about 10 minutes of that show, is where I was talking about a particular general by the name of George S. Brown. General George S. Brown was, in 1973, he was the chief of staff for the U.S. Air Force. And he spoke at a press conference October 16th, 1973.
Uh-huh.
At this press conference, he made the statement that there had been, he mentioned two different battles between UFOs and U.S. Air Force in Vietnam. Other things that he had to say made it to the news, And the news media, they were there. This was a press conference. But they didn't put that out on the air. But it's in the Pentagon transcript of his statements to the press. Okay. Now, I put that on YouTube. Jerry, it never ceases to amaze me what an absolutely wonderful and bountiful crop of mushrooms we have in the United States of America. Because, you know, here, this general died in 1978. He made these statements in 1973. And I get a comment on YouTube from a guy that says, "Well, why aren't we hearing this from him?" The whole video clip is about that. The whole video clip is about the press, the media, kept you from hearing what he said. Why aren't we hearing it from him? Well, if you were there in 1973, you would have heard it. But the rest of us didn't get to hear it because of the cover-up by the media. That's what the whole clip is about. And I got more than one statement like that. And, you know, it amazes me what an absolutely wonderful and bountiful, abundant crop of mushrooms we have in the United States.
Yeah, well, that's pretty trippy, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you kind of catch that when I say that it's 1973 he made the statement and the media didn't put it on the air? You'd kind of understand why you didn't hear it from him?
Right. Well, that's, you know, I just don't know what to say about that, Kevin. It's kind of beyond belief, isn't it?
Oh, I guess I believe it, but it's beyond my understanding how people can get up, burn oxygen, and get through the day when they can't put, well, that's not even putting two and two together. That's just putting two by itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Absolutely amazing. But anyway, the reason, folks, you didn't hear him say it is because the news media censored it. And the reason you're not getting to hear him say it now is because he is D-E-A-D dead. Okay? And so where did I get my information? Oh, just as I said in the film clip, in the video clip, the Pentagon transcript. All right. Jerry, out of all the shows last week, which one melted your butter better?
Well, that's a tough one. You know, it would have to be a toss-up between Robert Stanley and Marcus Allen, because Robert Stanley had some really interesting information.
What did he talk about?
Well, he has a new book out. It's called Covert Encounters. What is it? Get my bookmark out here. I can't show everybody tonight. Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C., and it chronicles a whole bunch of UFO sightings and experiences taking place in Washington. It's really a follow-up and an expansion to his previous book, Close Encounters in Washington.
You know, one of the people sort of affiliated with him, I think, is... Oh, I shouldn't have even brought this up. His first name is Wilbert.
Allen.
Allen, that's it. And there was an article on a political website that treated the whole thing of exopolitics and Wilbert Allen and so forth with respect. And, you know, You know, I shouldn't have stepped into this because I can't remember the name of the website, but the website is well known. And but they treated it with respect and just reported on what he says is going on and what the exopolitics folks say about it. And I was pretty impressed that, you know, here's at least one part of the media making the turn, and that's a good thing.
Well, you know, most people don't realize, they don't realize that Will Allen is a professional photographer. He's not using a regular camera like, you know, most folks do. I have a very expensive camera, and it's a cheap camera compared to what he's got. It is, you know, $6,000-$7,000 just for the camera body alone. The lenses that he uses are image stabilization lenses. They're made by Nikon. It's a Nikon camera. And when he takes a photo, he really takes a photo. So the resolution, the details are so absolute that, you know, you can take it into a lab and look at the raw data on that, and these cameras collect a huge amount of raw data. So when he said, you know, when I first got wind that he had these photos, it was through Robert, and it was several years ago before he had ever written a book. And I looked at it, and it was like, you know, here's some pictures, yada, yada, yada. And, okay, so what's special about this? He says, well, Will Allen's a professional photographer. He worked for NBC. He worked at the White House. He worked at the UN. And he gave me the whole rundown on this fellow's credentials. Pretty impressive stuff. Broadcast engineering and so forth. So then I had a chance to talk to Will. He actually gave me some tutorage on how to use this Nikon that we have. And it was immediately obvious he knew what he was doing, because he walked me into places that I never thought I could go. So I found out what camera he's got, took a look online, started checking out his equipment. He must have $40,000 or $50,000 in just cameras and lenses. So the photos that he's taken, he is really trying to take a good picture every time he takes a shot. So it adds a lot more credibility to the pictures that are in the book and the ones that you might find online. Most people don't realize this about Will Allen or his equipment. They just look at pictures and go, oh, well, that's interesting, there's a picture. But it's really a lot more.
You know, I had him on the show, I think it was in 2009. We have to step away for break, folks. We shall return right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show and my co-host this evening, Jerry Wills. Folks, we're going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines. If you have a question or a comment, you know, we're just kind of wandering around here talking about the various things that have happened over the past very eventful week. And if you want to talk with Jerry or if you want to talk with me, you got a question or a comment for either one of us. The telephone lines are open, okay? So the telephone number is 623-444-5889, and the phones are open. If you're outside the USA and you don't want to make the international call, you can use the flash message option. You go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture, you'll see the link for flash message. You got to be outside the USA and outside of Canada, because in the USA and Canada, it's easy and inexpensive to use a telephone. 623-444-5889. Jerry, I was saying, you know, I had Mr. Allen, the professional photographer, on the show, I think it was 2009. And
I remember.
You remember that show?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he actually encountered some harassment from the D.C. police.
Well, yeah, I heard about that. But when I was talking to Robert on Monday night, Robert was telling me that he's made friends with some of the D.C. police, especially the ones at the White House. And having spoken to these guys, he said who they were. I can't remember now exactly, but they work at the White House itself. And he said that, you know, they were telling him stories, but they couldn't go on the record and tell him those stories.
Yeah.
Really fascinating stuff.
Yeah, stories about UFOs over the White House.
Well, about things landing.
Yeah. And he's got photographs of things landing on top of the Capitol.
Yeah, he does.
All right, let's go to the telephone. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Well, hello, Brent.
Hello, Brent.
Hi, Jerry. When you had Marcus Allen on, I called in and asked a question about the black skies on the moon. He said there is a technique on shutter speed to get rid of the stars. I just wanted to comment that I'm glad he cleared that up, because I didn't know there was that technique.
But it isn't a technique to black them out. What it is shutter speed as a result of how much light there is. And the more light there is, because of the type of film, they were using ektachrome film, which is very light sensitive, so you have to have a very high shutter speed in order to keep the film from becoming overexposed. They had a small aperture and a very fast shutter speed, and as a result of that, it picked up only the brightest things. The stars would not have been as bright because there's no atmosphere on the moon to diffuse the light from those stars, making them seem brighter than they actually are.
Yeah, I'm just glad he cleared that up.
Yeah, and it was a very valid point. It was a good question.
Well, I gotta go, so I'll see you guys later.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call. You know, there's in the photographs, the official photographs that were released to the public of these moon missions, there are a lot of anomalies. You know, the cameras had crosshairs in them, so that every shot they took, there would be these crosshairs. Well, the crosshair was in the lens itself, so the crosshair would be on top of any image that you shoot. So if you point the camera at an astronaut, you snap a picture, the crosshair would be on top of the astronaut. You would see it. It could be on his chest, his shoulder, depends on how the camera was aimed, but the crosshair would be on him. And no part of the crosshair would be behind him. Well, there are photographs from the moon where crosshairs are behind objects. You can see part of the crosshair sticking up from behind an object, meaning that object has been superimposed on that photograph.
Well, and you know, to take it even into a more unusual direction, Marcus was pointing out that there would be absolutely no way for the astronauts to make the adjustments on the camera because their gloves were so big, and those adjustments are very small. He had a picture of the camera that we put up for everyone. And the other issue is that there's no way they could look through the viewfinder in order to compose their shot. They could only point and shoot.
Yeah, it was attached to their chest.
Yeah, and in so many of the pictures, everything was just well composed. It wasn't an off angle a little bit. It wasn't tilted a little bit. Every shot was well composed, and that was another point of contention for him with these photographs.
You also have photographs where the light, for instance, is the sun is coming from behind the lunar lander, meaning that what is on this side of the lunar lander would be in darkness.
Right.
As you shoot in toward the light, the lunar lander should be a dark shadow against the light. And yet this side of it is well lit, and you can see detail. That means... Yeah, you got another light source.
You know, and folks weren't really paying attention back then. Because on the Earth, you would take a look at a shot like that, and you would figure that it's just ambient diffused light. Point is, there really isn't anything to diffuse the light. There's no atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same problem when we go up to 16, 17,000 feet, when we go to, you know, up to the Andes. Black becomes very black, and we still have enough atmosphere to breathe. But lighting is handled entirely different the higher you go.
Well, this, you know, all of these things are part of the reasons that, you know, I say that I think we went, but I don't think you and I and the rest of the world have seen the real video or the real photographs of what really was taking place on the moon. And we may not have even heard the real broadcasts of the astronauts. In other words, those could have been prearranged as well. So there's some evidence of scripting and evidence of editing, which of course back then they didn't think that anybody would be able to figure this out, but they did not anticipate either the tremendous computing power that people would have sitting on their desks at home. All right, we have to step away for break, and we'll be back right after this. Phone lines are open, and we will be glad to take your call.
United Kingdom, and you are listening to the fantastic Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. Co-hosting with me this evening, Jerry Wills, and we're sort of kicking things around, things that we talked about on the show last week, or that Jerry did. He hosted the show last week, and then a few things that I've come up with. We're just sort of kicking these things around, and the phone lines are open, 623-444-5889. Jerry, we have a caller on the line, so let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Louie, calling from Connecticut.
Kevin, hello, Louie.
And Jerry.
Hi, good evening, Louie.
Yes, I'd like to know one thing, gentlemen. How come the astronauts never had a reunion?
Well, I don't know.
They never had a reunion. That's strange.
That is strange. You would think they would do it like a... Well, I mean, didn't the Who do a reunion?
Yeah, that's what I can understand.
Well, I'll tell you this, Louie. You know, out here in the public, there is the public image of the astronauts. And we see them together when they get their pictures taken, and they're all smiling and, you know... But in real life, a lot of these astronauts didn't even really like each other.
Oh, well, that might explain it.
So, well, it could be that simple. Some of these astronauts really just, they worked together, they did their jobs, and that was that. You know, they were not, a lot of them were not big buddies with some of the others. So it could be just some normal dissension, you know, on a personal level that, yeah, you know, we went, we did our job, we're finished. And I can kind of understand that. Just because somebody's been an international policeman doesn't mean I like him.
It's true.
And it doesn't mean they like me.
One more thing, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Kevin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, if we went to the moon, where was all the drinking water at? I mean, that little Apollo capsule, you think it could carry all that water?
Well, they've been recycling urine on spacecraft for many, many years. They were recycling urine on spacecraft during the Apollo missions, I believe.
That's a lot of recycling.
Yeah. But you know what? All of the water that they drink on the International Space Station comes from the astronauts.
Oh, I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I'd have to be pretty thirsty, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
One more before I hang up. The size of the Apollo space capsule, I was told, well, someone, a friend of mine, a long time ago, told me that the size of the door of the space capsule was too small to fit, you know, their equipment. You know, like the spacesuit. Is that true?
Well, I don't know, but of course they didn't land on the moon with the Apollo spacecraft. They had a lunar lander, and it did have a bigger door.
Okay.
But they did have, if you remember, one or two of the astronauts did have some difficulty going through that door with the spacesuit.
All right, have a good evening, gentlemen.
All right, thanks. I appreciate the call. You know, the thing about it, though, is I'm not at all sure they landed on the moon with that lunar lander. I think they landed on the moon, but I think it was with something, far more advanced than that lunar lander. All right, to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hello, Jerome.
How you doing, Jerry? You did a good job last week. In fact, I wanted to tell you, before last week, I never really listened to you. I kind of, whenever Kevin was off and you were hosting it, I took it as a little break time. And I was happy that I was able to get to know you better.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's nice to know you better.
Hey, listen, also, I know there's nothing you can do about this, but last week I was one of the first callers one day, and I could hardly hear you. And then, I mean, I had to press the phone up to my ear in so much that it was even sore to hear you. And I could hardly carry on a coherent conversation. And I know you kept on having people call in, and then you thought they weren't there or they had their radios on. But I could understand why they had their radios on. But I know you can't do anything about that. But as far as the astronauts go, one of the interesting things I found was that I believe they were asking Neil Armstrong what he thought when he landed on the moon, or one of the astronauts. And he kind of like did a meltdown and couldn't even describe it. And you know, if I was there and I took a step down and looked up, I might be awestruck. But I would at least say that. You know what I mean? He just kind of seemed to melt down and you know, like almost like it was some kind of brainwashing or something. Any comment on that?
I think that, what is that buzzing sound? Do you guys hear that beeping, that buzzing? Jerry, were you hearing that beeping and buzzing?
Yeah. It's coming in loud and clear. It sounds like a tow truck sound.
Yeah. And you've suddenly become staticky. Okay. Well, anyway, here's what do I think about it? I think it was Neil Armstrong, but I'm not sure about that, Jerome. And I have seen that. I've seen people have written about it in books. There have been blogs about it. I don't think that I have seen any video of it, but it may be out there. And, you know, it is rather a strange reaction, because last week when we were filming, well, Jerome is gone. Okay, last week when we were filming, I had something happen to me that has never, ever happened to me. And it was odd, it was weird, it was strange. Later, the producers were talking with me about it and wanted me to describe it. And although I really don't have words to describe it, I was able to describe it somewhat. So you would think they would be able to describe what it felt like to be on the moon, wouldn't you, Jerry?
Well, yeah. Yeah, you'd think so.
I mean, you would think that even if they're at a loss for words to adequately describe it, you could say something. You could get close anyway. All right.
Well, I've had a few experiences, and, you know, I'm at a loss for words immediately, but after I've had a chance to think about it, I can put it into a context where I can relate it to other people.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the telephone line. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, this is John from your old hometown of Mesa, Arizona.
Well, hello, John from Mesa, Arizona. What's
hello,
on
John.
Your mind?
Hey, how you doing? I was thinking, you know, a lot of times we talk about, you know, the super technology of the spacecraft, the UFOs that come through, and how they seem to have problems here and there, and they aren't able to defend themselves. And I was looking back, and I was thinking, well, you know, one of the fastest airplanes we know about, the SR-71 Blackbird, it's fast, but it hasn't got any bullets or, you know, any armament on it, and you could shoot it down pretty easy, you know, if you could get to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, now some of these
the UFOs might be in the same category. They have specialized jobs that they do when they come in.
Yeah, could be. But some of these UFOs have been known to shoot back.
Correct.
Yeah, but most of them don't. Yeah, you're right.
And I had one other thought, and, mm-hmm. you know, if we're getting this vast amount of knowledge from the aliens, it must be spotty here and there, because if we had all of their knowledge, the powers that be would have no problem reigning in and exercising an iron fist and ruling like many of the despots of our past. So I'm thinking that whatever knowledge they're sharing must be pretty spotty here and there.
It could be. But, and Jerry, you jump in on this as well. John, don't go away.
Okay.
It could be that the information they share with us is spotty. It could also be that they're sharing with us the full information, but we are not capable of fully understanding it. For instance, you know, it may make sense to them to say, well, when you get to, paratrot, at that point you have to apply the quadrupaddle. And we're going paratrot and quadrupaddle? What is that? And they're saying, well, it's a paratrot and a quadrupaddle. You know, and we may not understand the science necessary to produce the effects they produce. So our understanding of it may be spotty.
I agree.
Well, the other way of looking at it may be that the powers that be are the ones ruling the Earth, aren't people from the Earth, and in order to keep everything in a mass of confusion, they keep all these things happening that are going on worldwide through the people here, and as a result, they don't want this kind of power used to bring an iron fist, so to speak. Instead, they want things just the way they have them because that's the best way for them to work covertly.
Well, and I have to agree with the idea, the premise that under the current system, the world is going to continue to advance and progress much more quickly as long as there's a belief that we will excel and benefit from all of our hard work. Under any sort of slave labor concentration camp, the general attitude is to do the minimal that you have to get by and not about to make life easier for those above you, no matter what your understanding is.
Sure.
Well, it could be a combination of all three of these ideas, too. Maybe they're giving it to us kind of spotty, and maybe we have a spotty understanding of the spotty technology that they're giving us. And maybe all of that is part of the grand design of whoever is really behind running the world. Maybe they like things just the way they are, so they let you advance a little bit. And they give you a little spotty information, knowing you're not even going to understand all of that. And they do it by design to keep us kind of where we are. Could be all three of those.
Yeah. It could be a giant poker game, and they're running a bluff the whole way down.
Could be.
Well, there's an idea.
It could be.
And if the populace gets smart and calls their bluff, they may be out of business.
Well, a lot of times life feels like a crapshoot anyway.
That's a fact. Well, that's all I had, sir.
All right, what's the weather like in Arizona today?
Well, it's starting to look like summer in Arizona. You know, we're looking at 110 tomorrow, and I'm thinking, oh, I've been trying to ignore summer for weeks and weeks and weeks, but it still came anyway.
Well, you know, you've heard me say it, living in Phoenix or in the Phoenix area in the summertime is sort of like living in the northern suburbs of hell.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah. Okay, John, thanks for the call.
You bet.
All right. So, Jerry, do you think we have some grand masters that are running the planet?
Yeah, I think so. It's my own personal belief. And things that I've seen lead me to believe that. But, you know, I don't really have any evidence. I don't have any way of pointing to something and saying this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a person you can actually go to. It's more of, well, you know, I mean, it's the sketchy things, like the contacts I've had, people I've spoken to, things I've read. You know, you put all these pieces together, you know, maybe the missing piece for a lot of folks would be the contacts because, you know, everyone can read the same things I've read and talk to people who seem to know what they're talking about. But when you put together those pieces with the contact encounters that I've had, then I'm led to believe that, you know, things are really very strange indeed, and that this world is controlled by an outside force that does not want the people of this world to know that it even exists.
We'll come back to that. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, Kevin. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm
Hello,
glad
Tony.
To be back.
Hey, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, I wanted to talk about Robert Stanley from last week. He mentioned his part of American Morning News, and I wanted to reiterate that if I could.
Yeah.
He has that website, unicusmagazine.com. If everybody would just go there and then click on the radio show and then scroll down and click on America's Morning News, these clips, they don't take that long, and they're real short, and they're just great. I encourage everybody, everybody in the Kevin Smith Show family to take the time. You're really going to be glad you did if you do. And
yeah,
Jerry...
it's really quite good.
Yeah, I really liked them. I went and listened to them over the weekend. I loved them.
Tony, why don't you post something about that in our forum so everybody can read it? Maybe post
okay.
the link in there.
And thanks again, Jerry, for a very fun week last week. And what a great 10 hours of radio.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and thanks for your participation as well. And incidentally, I was going to give you a call, and I didn't. I intend to give you a call tomorrow, so I will do that.
Okay, we'll look forward to talking to you.
All righty, thanks.
Thanks, Tony. Yeah, the telephone lines are open, folks. They really are. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. All right, to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
And hello,
Mike.
Jerry, again. Nice talking to you and hearing you again tonight. But
yeah, thank you.
I basically wanted to welcome Kevin home.
Well,
he's
thank
been
you.
Out there sweating and toiling and trying to come up with new information. So I just, as much as I appreciate Jerry, and Jerry, you know I do, we really appreciate Kevin, too. So I don't want to slight either one of you.
Well, guess what, Mike?
Pardon me?
Guess what?
I don't know.
I was doing all that sweating and toiling in the hills of Kentucky.
How come you didn't come by and knock on the door?
Oh, man. We started early and worked late. But let me tell you something. Where we were, cell phones were useless. Where
yeah.
we were, there was just no cell phone signal. And except, like I said, there were places where you could, you know, stand on your left foot, raise your right hand, and use your left hand for the cell phone, and maybe if you stood real still, you might could get a call through. We were really in some hills.
Well, I don't doubt it, especially over in eastern Kentucky, because a lot of reports out of eastern Kentucky of, you know, those secret or... secret, hidden, whatever you want to call them, military bases over in that area. And a lot of stuff went on over there, and so I won't say too much right now because I don't know how much what you were doing applies to all of that. But, you know, this thing about the moon, it's like, you know, a duck hunt. You go out and you aim at a target, you shoot. Maybe it's a duck, maybe it's a raccoon. You just don't know.
If it's in the air and it's a raccoon, that's one you really want to take to the taxidermist.
Haven't you seen the raccoons that fly like squirrels?
No. No, I haven't, but I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. I have seen raccoons barbecued, and they're good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what a lot of people tell me. I just don't have much of a taste for wild meat like that, but I know a lot of people here love those things.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I don't eat a lot of meat now, but I used to.
Yeah.
And well, if I was, you know, on a long range patrol out through the woods, through the hills, through the jungle, and I came upon a camp or a village, whatever they're eating, if they offer it to me, I'm going to take it. But I don't eat much meat now, but I used to, and I've had barbecued raccoon, and it is delicious.
Yeah, I had it one time over at my wife's brother's house, and
but I don't think it was a flying raccoon.
Good taste to it, but still that wildness of the flavor came through, and I'm just not much on the wild game.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you serious? Are there flying raccoons like flying squirrels?
Well, have you ever seen a bloodhound chase a raccoon?
I have.
Then you know that raccoon can do wonderful things when he's scared.
Well, so can I. Mike, thanks for the call, buddy.
You guys have a great night.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, yeah. I guess I can fly, too. I got... there was a... I forget. I don't remember if it was a pit bull. I don't remember what kind of... It was a big dog, though. Fairly big. Not as big as a German Shepherd. And I was on patrol, pulled up into lumber yard that was supposed to be locked up, and it was open. And it's after midnight, right? So me and another deputy pull up in there, and we get out and start looking around because it appears that maybe someone has broken the lock on the gate, and it's open, and nobody's supposed to be in there. Well, that was the same opinion the dog had. Nobody was supposed to be in there, and I'm not sure how I did it, but in a single bound, I think, I was on top of the patrol car. I was treed. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, hello, Kevin. This is Bill from Oklahoma. How are you doing, Kevin and Jerry?
I'm doing well, Bill.
Hi. Doing good, Bill.
I was just calling to welcome you back, Kevin, and Jerry, to thank you for filling in for Kevin that week. I think you did a terrific job keeping the Kevin Smith Show running, and I know I, and I'm sure everyone else really appreciates it.
Bill, hang on just a minute. We have a break taking over. We'll get back to you right after this break. Don't go away, folks. More coming up. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My co-host this evening, Jerry Wills, and on the phone with us from Oklahoma is Bill. Bill, we had to cut you off in mid-sentence because the break took over, and I didn't want to do that. I want to give you the floor and let you finish your thought.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I'd want to welcome you back and thank Jerry for filling in for you for the week. I think he did an excellent job. And I'll be thinking about Jeff Harvey and at least attempting to clean energy. I really don't know if I'm capable of that, but I like to think that I am.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it. And I know Jerry does. All right. Thanks for the call, Bill. I don't know what happened to his telephone because he got real quiet. Could you hear him well, Jerry?
Yeah, I heard him pretty good, up to a point.
Yeah. Well, he was just thanking us for doing what we do, and it's good to hear that sometimes. It really is. All right, the telephones are open, and we will keep them open and right up to the end of the show. I want to throw something else out, though, in this segment, because we've got some information I think you need, and we'll do that right after this call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Jerry. It's Kate from L.A.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. Hello. Welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call and let you know that the shows last week were really a lot of great fun, and my best show, I think, was Friday night, late Friday night, when somebody got Jerry to talk about his healing technique. So I'd like to suggest that sometime you might do an after-hours interview with Jerry about that, because it's really very interesting.
All right. Jerry, consider it an invitation. You want to do it? Now we can't hear Jerry. He's all staticked up.
I am still here.
Okay. So Kate wants me to invite you to do an after hours one night and talk about your healing techniques.
Sure, that sounds fine. You know, what I was thinking actually was to do a Saturday show and just cover that specifically for a couple of hours on Saturday, just broadcast from here while I still have the system up.
Sounds good to me. Will that work for you, Kate?
Yeah, that would be great. One other thing I wanted to tell you really quick, Kevin, was, do you remember a few months ago on that show where you were feeling so bad you said you didn't even know you'd be able to finish the show or not?
Yeah, I thought I was dying. I really did.
Well, I quite impulsively picked up the phone and dialed Jerry's number. It must have been 9 or 10 o'clock his time, and to my amazement, he answered the phone. And I said, you don't know me, but I'm listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and he is not doing well. And we talked a few minutes, and he assured me that he was quite concerned and that he would call you as soon as the show was over. And I just want to tell you, I think you have a really good friend there, to you and to the Kevin Smith Show, and we all appreciate what you both do.
Well, thank you very much, and I fully agree with you, Kate. Jerry is one of the best friends anybody could have. And he's my friend, and he's a friend to the show. You're right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, oh, that was a tough night, Jerry.
Yeah, I remember that very well. It's wonderful that she called in, because I'd forgotten who it was. Because when I heard you were in trouble, you know, that's all that I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately started connecting into you and throwing energy your way and, of course, getting a hold of you as quickly as I could.
Well, and I appreciate it. You know, something, I had not had that specific thing happen to me before, and I hope I don't again, but I actually blacked out as we went to break that night on one of the breaks. And, you know, maybe that's when you connected in with me, because I came out of it just as we were coming out of break and went back on the air and took a call, and it was you. So maybe that was it. Maybe you're what brought me around. Well. Okay. Are you there, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what happened. It just went dead.
Okay. Well, gremlins. Well, I was saying, you know, maybe, you know, I blacked out as we went to break. And, I mean, that was a tough night. I had never had anything like that happen. And I came around just as we came out of break. And I was back on the air when people saw the camera come up. And saw me on screen. I had been re-conscious maybe 5 seconds. And
yeah, I remember you had said that you weren't sure how long you'd been out for.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a tough night. But then I took a telephone call, the first telephone call, and it was you. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe you are why, maybe what you were doing is what brought me around.
Well, I was sure doing my best to connect in and support you however I could.
Well, I don't know how I got through that show, but I did get through the show. And for those who are new and you're wondering, well, what in the world are they talking about? What happened? It turns out, folks, that it was a diabetic situation. I did not know I was diabetic. And that's what it was. But I actually, having never experienced that, I didn't know how to interpret it, and I certainly didn't know what to do about it. And I thought I was dying. I really did. I had absolutely no control over my ability to stay conscious. It just, you know, it was like a wave that hit me, and I was gone. Fortunately, it happened as I went off camera. As I went off camera, it happened. The break played, and as we were coming back on the air, 5 seconds or so before I'm back on camera, I sort of woke up from that, sat up, and here we went again, you know. But that happened, the complete numbness from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, absolutely numb, through most of the show. So, if you are diabetic, take care of it. And like I said, I had no idea. Really had no idea. All right, I want to get to something. Elanine. Yep. The comet Elanine. Because there's some new stuff out there. The new stuff that's out there. Of course, Elanine is coming. And it will be here. It will pass fairly close to the Earth. In astronomical terms, it's going to pass very close to the Earth. And that's going to happen in October. They are saying that it's giving off a huge radio signal, you know. They can pick it up with radio telescopes. It's giving off a huge signal. Other people, though, other astronomers, are saying there's nothing to it. It's just a common little comet. But other people now, Jerry, are beginning to say that it's changing course as though it is being piloted. And we all remember what happened with the Hale-Bopp comet and people talking about that there was some kind of spacecraft coming in with it, and we ended up with what? Heaven's Gate. Be careful what you read and what you respond to, folks. Another thing is I saw on the internet a statement that Elanine in Hebrew, of course, Elanine is the name of the astronomer that discovered it. And his name is Leonid Elanine. He's Russian. But I saw on the internet, they were saying that in Hebrew, it has a meaning. We're going to take a call, and then we'll get to that. And we'll talk about that after this call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
My name is Sean. I'm calling from Pal Talk.
Okay. From Pal Talk. All right, Sean.
Yes, I would just like to say that I studied the hollow earth and the hollow moon theory, and it sure makes a lot more sense that aliens brought it here as an observatory and, you know, a place for them to live in while they observe their experiment, the human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We are here on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
It pretty much makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so do you think that the so-called aliens are living inside the Earth, or do you think...
No.
No?
Yes. Well, if you actually think about it, are they really aliens if they were here first and then they procreated us to be a worker race?
Okay, fair enough, but whatever they are, do you think they're living inside the Earth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've been here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They've been here before we are, so basically we're more aliens than they are.
Okay.
If you look at the, the whole synopsis of the whole thing, I just look at the whole possibility of us, them, basically... revealing themselves would be a misnomer, because I don't think they would want to bring us out of this matrix that we're here alone.
Have you ever seen, Sean, have you ever seen this movie called Dark City?
Dark City?
Mm-hmm.
Dark City. I'm not sure. I haven't heard about Dark City.
You need to get your hands on that and watch it because, it's not about these beings living inside the earth, but it is about them managing our perceptions. And it is a great movie. It shows how easy it would be to manage the perceptions of very large populations. It's a great movie.
Well, it's just like the movie One Anunnaki or Anunnaki One that they didn't produce, but after reading Stitch's work on the 12th Planet and then seeing Avatar, I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Hollywood has this knowledge filter where they're not allowed to talk about the Anunnaki. But if you watch Avatar, it's the same exact story,
mm-hmm.
except it's a switch and reverse trick where the humans came to that planet to mine for a mineral, and in the 12th Planet, the Anunnaki came here to mine for gold.
Mm-hmm.
And the spin of it is that the avatars are real tall beings, which the Anunnaki were real tall beings to us.
Mm-hmm.
When we get the giants of the Bible and so forth. But it was like watching a movie through a mirror. When I saw it, I was like, wow.
All right, let me ask you this, and then we'll run along because we have a break coming up. Do you think the science fiction movies have inside information?
You can tell it's a knowledge filter of science, yes.
Yeah.
They put out what they want to, but then what they do is they tell us so much and then tell us the truth and see how we respond.
All right. Sean, thanks for the call. We have to step away for a break. Interesting stuff. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, co-hosted tonight by Jerry Wills, who was your host last week and did a great job. We're really, really fortunate to have him as a friend and as a friend of the show. Jerry, I want to go back to Comet Elenin for just a moment.
Sure.
You up for that?
Yep. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, on the internet, people are beginning to talk about, and really some kind of big names are beginning to talk about, that maybe this thing is being piloted or perhaps being maneuvered by someone. That always makes it a little spooky, especially when you stop to think about the fact that we had that story with Hale Bopp. And I don't know that there is a connection between the story that was out there about how there was a big UFO following Hale Bopp. I don't know if there's a connection between that and Heaven's Gate, but people made that connection, and of course it was awesomely tragic. What took place with the Heaven's Gate group, I think it was 39 of them that wound up dead, committed suicide is the official story anyway.
Yeah,
well,
they went to live on the comet.
Yeah, well, we don't want any of that sort of stuff happening with Elenin. Elenin is going to be spectacular all by itself, I think. But there's also, on the internet now, someone saying that Elenin means something in Hebrew. It's a Russian name. It's the name of the astronomer, Elenin. But they're saying that in Hebrew, it means God's grace. And folks, I got to tell you, to the best of my knowledge, that's not true. There are two ways, there's really no way to say God's grace in Hebrew exactly. There are two ways to say it. One would be El, that's God, E-L, El Kesed. And the other is El Kin. El Kesed really sort of means God's really special divine love. And Elkin means God's favor. Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. Elkin. Elenin, to the best of my knowledge, is not Hebrew. It doesn't equate to anything in Hebrew, to the best of my knowledge. Now, someone out there who is a Hebrew expert, I read Hebrew, but I'm certainly not an expert. I'm not a linguist. So someone out there that is an expert and may know that I've just told you something that's not true. In other words, they know I've made a mistake here. If that's the case, I want you to write to me. I want you to send me an email and educate me. To the best of my knowledge, Elenin is not Hebrew. So when you run across this stuff, be careful. I mean, don't eat it up just because someone says it means that in Hebrew. That doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. And just because someone says there's a big UFO with Elenin, that also does not mean they are accurate. They may know what they're talking about, but they're not, maybe not accurate about that. So don't panic over this. Elenin is coming. We cannot stop it. It is going to do whatever it is going to do. There is no need for us to panic and to fear about this thing. All right, now I've thrown that out there. What do you think about it, Jerry? What are your thoughts about Elenin here?
Well, I really don't know what to think about it. I have a feeling that it's probably something quite special. You know, it's going to represent something to us. I'm not sure what just yet. The thing that really caught my attention, and I think I've mentioned it on the show before, is that its closest approach to the sun, that day that it's right there at its closest to the sun, is September 11th. If it happens to be a comet, it's going to look spectacular. If it's not a comet and it's an extrasolar body of some sort, then it's going to influence the sun and the way the sun would, it would disturb the sun, basically, is what I'm trying to say. It just fascinates me to no end that it's going to be at its closest approach to the sun on September 11th, because that's the day that's on my birth certificate, the day that I've been told to pay attention to. And the last time something like this happened was 10 years ago, which would be September 11th of 2001. And
when you say the last time something like this happened, you're not saying that there was a comet going around the sun.
No. I guess I was a bit vague with that. Essentially, what's happened ever since I was 18, when I was 28, the contacts resumed, and I had another visitation. 10 years later, at 38, it happened again. Another 10 years, 48, and it happened, it didn't happen, but instead, 2001, you know, September 11, 9/11 happened. And now, it's another 10-year anniversary, and this is happening. So I just find it fascinating. You know, I don't know if the listeners know, but the birth date that I have is one that was assigned to me. It's not really my birth date. So consequently, because I was having visitations every 10 years by these extraterrestrials, I'm paying particular attention to the 10-year anniversary every time September 11th comes up.
Well, you know, I've said many times, Jerry, and I'll say it again, I could be dead wrong about this, but I don't think it's an earthbuster. We may have some catastrophes as a result of it. We may have some earthquakes. We may get some debris from the tail of this comet. And I'm not saying it's going to be a walk in the park, but what I am saying is I don't think it's an earthbuster. It's not the end of life as we know it. I really don't think so. And there are many reasons why I don't think so. But we'll just let it go at that. I don't think it is an earth buster. I think eventually there will be such an event. Eventually, there will be an earthbuster. I don't think this is it.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be an earthbuster. It just has my interest because at that particular point in time, September 11th, it'll be at its closest to the sun. And depending on what it is, there'll be a reaction of one sort or another.
All right. Well, Jerry, I want to thank you for being with us this evening. Stay on the line with me for a moment as I bring this flight of the KSS Starship in for a landing because we are now out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't subscribed to the K-Files, be sure you do that. It's free, so there's no reason not to do it. If you're not a member, join tonight. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody. In me.